Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give it to you. Glory be to God. So, amen. Amen. Thank God for another blessed day. And wherever you listen to me at, ask if you would join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this day that you have blessed us again to assemble together to hear your word. Father, we thank you once again for such an opportunity as this, that we've been given this opportunity to hear the warning message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to comprehend the message that you're giving. And for those whose ears are tuned in to this broadcast, who have sought your face, I pray that they will find it. Lord God, I pray that you will word my mouth to rightly divide the word of God to those that are listening, and that you will water the seed that I'm sowing. So, dear Lord, I thank you for such an opportunity as this, and I'm grateful that you are here in the midst, because you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. So, Lord, I thank you, and I give you all the glory and honor and praise, and I magnify you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory be to God. I thank God for this broadcast. The title, once again, of this message is part of a series that is titled Persecution in the End Time. This is part 4. I did not expect to do these many parts to this section of the series, but hey, I want to be led by the Spirit of God and give what the Lord had me to give. I want to say before I go any further, for those of you who are first-time listeners, I want to encourage you after you listen to this part 4 tonight to go back and listen to part 1, because in part 1, I mentioned to you starting off that I will be not only coming with scriptures from the Bible, but scriptures from two more books of the Word of God called The Word of the Lord and Record of Nephite. And in part 1, I point you to where to listen to on Blog Talk Radio, the past episodes we did, that to give you more information about the other two books of the Word of God that goes with the Bible. Amen. So I want to encourage you, you're first-time listeners, to go back and listen to part 1. And you say, well, how did I do that? Well, if you're listening to me on this page where there's a picture of a Bible, a little picture of a Bible in the right-hand corner, click on it, a drop box is showing, you hit episodes, and from there you can go into it record all our past episodes. And on this right here, you can go to part 1, Persecution of the End Time. That's all I was going to say, Persecution of the End Time, which that will be part 1. Go back and listen to it. And on that broadcast, I point you back to even other broadcasts that will talk more about these two books. However, if you're listening to me on another page where there's not a little picture of a Bible, maybe it's the God's Word to Man logo, you should be able to click on that and go to past episodes and go to part 1 of this section of the series, Persecution in the End Time. And once again, when you listen to it, I will point you to early other broadcasts that you can go and listen to get more information on these two other books. Now, tonight we are on part four of Persecution in the End Time. We've been looking at the Word of God that has been warning, once again, believers. Jesus is not talking to sinners. He's talking to believers, and he's warning believers through his word that we're going to face persecution. And we looked at, especially in part three, that and come to understand that the persecution he's talking about is both verbal and physical. Both verbal and physical. Okay? And we have been looking at that in the word, especially in part three. Jesus told and telling his people that when they shall deliver you up, not if they might, but shall, you're going to be brought before leaders, kings, rulers, okay? And we'll get back to another chief thing he said you're going to be brought before, which I believe is important. But we're going to continue on with part four tonight. And I want to come with the scripture from one of the books that I was telling you about called The Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus sent his been sending his word through his angelic messenger, the Elijah, to his people. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to read one of the a scripture from one of the messages, or perhaps two of the messages that Jesus sent. Jesus actually thus far have sent through his angel, the Elijah, 120 messages from the year of 1927 thus far to 1994. And it goes in line with Matthew 17, Malachi 4, and Malachi 3, Deuteronomy 18, Acts chapter 3, that Jesus talks about the prophet that he would send before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So, in connection with our lesson in this series, the persecution, the Lord sent this word out January 28, 1933. And this word is still valid today as it was the first day it was sent. And I want to read to you what he said in one of the scriptures here in this 30th message. He said, and the angel of the Lord said, thus says the Lord, you must all drink of the bitter cup, that you might know that which my son has suffered. For behold, the crown is after you have fought the fight. Speak not evil of your brother, nor of your fellow man whose mind is still dark. Go to them in love. Glorify the world by righteousness. Enlighten your mind by humility. Love always. Hate is not your work. I have called you to save the world. According to your humility and faithfulness in keeping my commandments so far, you will accomplish. If you fail, you have failed yourself. Now, one of the key things I want you to hear from this verse is that Jesus said, you must all drink of the bitter cup that you might know that which my son has suffered. Now, once again, the word of the Lord is to God's people, especially to those that are born again. He's causing Christianity to come to flow together as one. And he said that you all must drink of the bitter cup. Amen. So that does not leave out any gender or color or race. Okay. Amen. You must all drink of the bitter cup. Why? That you may know what my son has suffered. Okay? Now keep that in mind. I want to read a verse from another message. In fact, before I go to that, the other thing I want to bring to your attention is that Jesus said, you must all drink of the bitter cup, not the sweet cup. Okay? Amen. Because there are some Christians who think that being a Christian, everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to want to be around you. Everybody's going to pat you on the back. every church is going to invite you to come speak, or every church is going to invite you to come attend, all of that. And that's what some have pictured for some reason in their mind, that this is what Christianity is about. Because you show love, that everybody else is going to show love back. That's not necessarily true. Okay? And there are some who are professing Christians who have become really shaken up by this when they have encountered, hey, I show love, but those I show love to is showing me hate. Or I'm going around people who act like they really don't want to have nothing to do with me. And I don't think I've ever said anything out the way to them, but just try to be nice. Okay? Some of you are starting to find out that God may be using you to speak, and you find out now there are some churches that don't want you to come. Okay? And some have probably confronted you and came out and told you, said, we don't want you to come. We don't like what you preach. Can I get an amen? Now, he said, all must drink of the bitter cup. Now, Jesus said this cup is bitter, not sweet. Okay? You know, you ever drink something that's bitter? You ever look at yourself in the mirror, how all those frowns come on your face? Okay? Amen. But he said that we must all drink of the bitter cup. Why, Lord? That you may know what my son has suffered. Now, I want to read a scripture from another message. In fact, Jesus, it was the very next message called Message 31. Jesus sent this out October 4th, 1937, approximately what? About 4 years after this 30th message I read. Amen. And I want to read to you what he said in one of the verses here in what is called Message number 31, the 31st message. Amen. And listen to these words. The angel of the Lord was given authority to say this. Now hear ye the words of the Lord, all that tremble in his sight and at his word. Yea, seek me and walk righteously before me. Heed my voice, and great shall be your blessing. Remember, now listen closely. I want you to really hear this. He said, remember your Lord and Master who drank of the bitter cup, which is the same bitter cup that he was talking about in the other message that we all must drink of. He said, remember your Lord and Master who drank of the bitter cup. So we can't tell Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. But Jesus will tell you, yes, I do. I drank that bitter cup. He said, now, remember your Lord and Master who drank of the bitter cup, all must drink of the cup of trial. Why? To know what I have suffered for you. So this bitter cup is the cup of trial, okay? Lift high your banner, hold firmly to the iron rod. Yea, the righteous call to me, and my countenance shine upon thee. Now, he talks about this bitter cup, and he tells us it's the cup of trial. And the Lord said it's bitter. It ain't sweet. You know, a lot of people like sweet, sweet, okay? And you come to find out that, for example, a lot of your medicines or organic stuff you take for any pain or something in your body, something like that. Some of y'all, maybe, I mean, I'm 50, so some of y'all by my age or older, remember some of them old remedies, the old Farmer John, you know, all of that, and a lot of stuff that was bitter. And even though it was nasty, it helped. And see, we living in a generation today, people want, like medicine now, they want candy. They want medicine with bubblegum flavor and grape flavor and Kool-Aid flavor and all that stuff. You give them something bitter, oh my goodness, they start to fight. And so I say that to say this, that this cup of trial, Jesus said it's bitter. It's a bitter cup. And you know, when you drunk something bitter, especially real bitter, you don't have you don't have a big smile on your face. Many times this frown's coming on your face. You drink and you go, ah. When it's bitter, kind of make you grunt, okay? But he tells us why. He said that you may know what he suffered. See, it's two ways I understand we're going to come to the knowledge of the truth. Number one is through the word. Well, let's say three ways. Through the word, okay, where we come to know concerning Jesus, his word, through the word, by his spirit, through his spirit, and the third thing, through experience. In other words, you would have to experience or go through to even know. See, Jesus didn't just leave it with us at just knowing through the knowledge we obtain from the word. That's part of it. But he shows us that you're going to have to go through to really know. And see, that's a problem where many of us have is that part. The really, the experiencing is where we have the part, okay, where we fight against, you know. Because you got some that profess to be Christians, they don't want to experience to get that knowledge. Now, I'm not here to tell you that this cup of trial is lovely. Let's be real. Brother Nate would be lying to you if I told you that. If I told you that many times, I just totally enjoy it. I will be lying to you. But I know that is something that has to be, that is going to be helpful to me. It may not look helpful. Oh, by all means, it don't feel helpful. But according to what my Lord said, it will be helpful to me. And so he said, and let us know that drinking this bitter cup of trial is going to be helpful to us. Why? Because then we will get to know what Christ really suffered for us. Not just knowing from what the word tells us, which that has a role, but knowing through experience to actually go through the cup of trial. You understand what I'm saying? This cup of trial, I want you to understand, involves, hold on to your seat, persecution, okay? And once again, this word is to believers. And the Lord said, I all got to drink of the bitter cup. And this bitter cup, once again, it involves persecution. Yeah. That's why Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and speak all manner of false, speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Amen. You're going to be verbally persecuted. In other words, verbally harassed, verbally punished, and you're going to be physically harassed and physically punished for Jesus' name's sake. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Let's go back to the Bible here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's go back to the Bible here. Matthew chapter 20. Amen. And I'm going to read verses 18 to verse 23. Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 to verse 23. Now look what the word of God says here. Jesus said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed. Now he just said might be, shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. In other words, they're not going to say that he's going to be betrayed. And he's going to be brought before the chief priests and scribes, and they're going to condemn him to death. They're not going to love him. They're not going to embrace him. They're not going to accept him. See, Jesus drank of this cup, people. Amen. He said, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock
and to scourge and to crucify him. In the third day, he shall rise again. He is to be delivered to be what? To be mocked, to be scourged, and to be crucified. Just like what he's describing to us, his people, that we're going to, guess what? Encounter, which is in the persecution package. Okay? You get that? Because he told us in the word of the Lord, we must remember. Remember means be careful not to forget that your Lord and Master drank of that bitter cup. He said that Jesus, our Lord and Master, drank of it. So we can't, he told us not to forget. Don't think that when we start drinking from it, we the only ones. And Jesus don't know what we go through. Yes, he do. Remember, he drank, okay? Verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what will thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. In other words, you don't really know or understand what you really asking me. Then he asked him a question. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I should drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, not just her, okay? They say unto him, we are able. Wow. Ain't drunk the cup yet. I already said we able to do it. At that time, probably didn't understand the cup, okay? They said, we are able. Verse 23. And he, which is Jesus, said unto them, now listen to these words, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. He said, yeah, you shall do that. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it's not mine to give, but it shall be given of them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Amen. Once again, this cup represents the trials, which includes persecution, because it goes along with, get this, what Jesus said in verse 18 and verse 19 in his 20th chapter of Matthew. When he told him, say, hey, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed unto the chief priests and scribes. And they're going to condemn him to death. He's going to be delivered to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be crucified as punished or scourged. Okay? So that's his cup. And he said, you shall indeed drink of it. Because you got to really know. Have you ever been dealing with a situation with somebody and maybe they were explaining something to you and you didn't quite understand what they were saying, and maybe to a point you maybe even criticize it, you maybe even mocked it, you maybe even spoke against it. But when you actually went through the same thing, you start saying, I understand why he or she said what they said, or I understand why he or she felt that way. I understand it now. Well, see, this is what Christ is saying about us as believers concerning the persecution, which is in this cup of trial. That we have to experience it in order for us to come into the full circle of knowing what Christ suffered for us. Once again, we have the word of God that tells us we're not neglecting the word. Jesus not neglecting his own word, but he letting you know to come into the full understanding of what Christ suffered for us. Not only is you going to be given knowledge through the word, but you're going to have to experience what Christ experienced to know what he suffered. You understand that? And in a sense, I kind of understand why he said it, because many times you find when people don't experience the same thing, they can't really fully relate to it. See, Jesus can relate to us going through it, because why? He drank that bitter cup. But for most parts, many times, we can't fully relate to what Jesus suffered. So we got to come to relate to what he suffered. He could already relate to what we suffer. That's why the Bible says he was tempted at all points, yet without sin. That's why the word of the Lord said we got to remember that our Lord and Master drank the bitter cup. You get what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. I see this verse 20 shows, once again, this word is for the believers, because verse 20 tells us that they came worshiping Christ. And that's what believers, pupils of Christ, are supposed to be doing, is worshiping Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you go into it, because the Bible tells us in verse 20, they came worshiping him. When you look at that a little bit deeper, this will also represent the godly. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Remember, he said, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Godly means what? Piously. Piously is those who are devoted to worshiping. So we see that this can represent the godly. And see, this mother, yeah, we know, you know, we know the mother in love of their children, but sometimes the mother in love will have us asking God to do something, you know, put our kids in a place without them really going through. And that's what she was asking him. He told her, you don't know what you asked. And in that place you talking about put them, one on the right hand, one on the left, I mean, he said, you able to drink of the cup? We're able. See, sometimes people, we can speak ahead of time. We come to find out we ain't ready like we think. So instead of saying, well, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be able. We go, oh, I'm ready. You listen to some Christians now. Bring it on. I do it. Nothing ain't stopped. Blah, blah, blah. And the devil just blow a little blow. They, oh, my goodness, fall out. Don't want to go. Don't want to preach Christ no more. None of that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to read another scripture from the Word of the Lord book here again. And this message is called the 25th message. Jesus sent this word out March the 29th, 1931. And I want to read one of these scriptures. And remember, this word of the Lord is to God's people. And I want you to hear what the Lord had his angel to tell us. He said, the evil forces will seek to destroy you and the Lord's work. You hear that? The evil forces will seek to destroy you and the Lord's work. First of all, Satan and his demonic cohorts. And second of all, man through whom these evil is working through. Will seek to destroy you and the Lord's work. Then he said, the time will come. And keep that in mind, will come when your life will be in greater danger, like Elijah of old. As you meet in assembly, counsel not your God, but seek ye counsel in wisdom at his hand. Now, notice he said the time will come. Not might come, but will come, hallelujah, that your life will be in greater danger. Why? He said, because the evil forces seek to destroy you and the Lord's work. Now, you got some Christians, and I've heard one say this. Now, this word I'm giving to you now, they will be upset. Oh, he's a doomsday speaker. Listen, quit listening to him talking all that stuff like that. This is a message of warning, people. Christian, we don't want to do our job fully. You want to half-tell people stuff. See, that's one of the problems going on in the Christian community now. We're not preaching the full gospel. We preach a part of it. And we're preaching the part that we feel that get people all hyped up and jumping and kicking and rolling on the floor and then telling us how great a speaker we are. We're not telling them the full truth. are mighty afraid, especially some of these ministers. The last days for the face of angry people. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Nate? Because when these people apparently will be under their leadership somewhat, start finding out certain things that are happening, and on top of that, they find out that they pastor knew about it, they're going to look at it and say, why you didn't tell us about this? Why didn't you warn us? Listen, as a Christian, and especially as a Christian in the ministry, part of your job is to warn people. Every warning message don't sound good, people. Understand that. Understand that. So he said the time will come when your life will be in greater danger. So why is he telling us ahead of time? So we can get ready, people. You know, when you sense that your life is in danger, well, one of the first things try to set in, fear. That's anybody, okay? And see, what happens is, when that fear sets in too strong, that fear will cause us to renounce Jesus. Did you know that? Well, if you didn't know, you know now. There have been people that have renounced Jesus because of the fear. Amen. Now, let me read another verse to you out of the word of the Lord. This is coming from what is called Message 11. Message 11. Okay. Hallelujah. Message 11. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Message 11. Listen to what the word of God said. Worry not about those who seek to destroy your life. See, understand this. Once again, preparing you, not making you scared. If you prepared in the Lord, you'll be able to stand anything. Listen, but notice he said, worry not about those who seek to destroy you. That destroy twofold, verbally and physically. Destroy you with the words of their mouth and even physically. And he told us not to worry about it. Okay. Worry not about those who seek to destroy your life and the Lord's work that has been committed to you to do. It is not your work. Now remember that. Jesus wants you to remember that it's not your work overall. This is the Lord's work. Now individually he calls us to do a certain work, but overall, this is the work of the Lord. He goes on to say, you have had losses, but others have had losses. Okay, so what are you doing? He's keeping us from having a pity party on ourselves, thinking that we're the only one. Just like who? Elijah. Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one that ain't bowed to Baal, to Jezebel. The Lord said, I got 7,000 that ain't bowed to me. Let them know you don't even know of them. Amen? He said, you have had losses, but others have had losses. Now, hear this part of the message. He said, and many will lose, not only these world's goods, not only possessions and things that they have. He said, many will not only lose these world's goods, but their lives, and some, their souls will suffer as well. Did you hear that? Now, he didn't say all, but he said many will lose the world goods, will lose their lives, and suffer in their soul. All this in connection to dealing with what? The persecution package. You hear that? Now, some of you may say, well, Brother Nate, which one I need to prepare for? You need to prepare for either. Either whatever. You just need to be prepared. You, me, and everybody else. Once again, I shared with y'all on one of the broadcasts before that about a couple of years ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I had something to come up that it affected me so bad, I thought I was strong with this thing. It affected me. Fear set in on me so bad, Like I told you guys, I thought I was having a heart attack. I literally thought I was having a heart attack. So what did it show me? It showed me that I wasn't ready like I thought I was. You get that? So I'm glad that the Lord brought that to my attention for what I was facing. People, listen. In this persecution, at some point, some, and maybe you personally, you're going to be persecuted alongside others, and then there's going to be some instances it's just going to be you by yourself. I'm just letting you know this. Giving you the heads up. If just in case you ain't come across it, I'm giving you the heads up. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our sister Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus. See, that's why as a Christian, we got to be balanced. You got to learn what to do when you're around people, and you got to know what to do when you're by yourself. You're not going to be around people all the time. You're not going to be by yourself all the time. You got to be balanced. Some Christians don't know how to act when they're around people. And then you got others that don't know how to act when they're by themselves. You understand that? Hallelujah. And so in the persecution, you got to be balanced. You know, in that book, Christian Martyrs of the World, I was telling you guys about in other broadcast, I was telling you that one of the things that the Christians of the early church faced, but they was taken to the middle of the village and burned alive. Now, sometimes it would be one person, one Christian taken out there and burned alive on a stake before the people. And then sometimes I read that there was two. Like one time, it was this man and this woman. Let me show you and tell you this account how a Christian can help another. Now, these two was believers of Christ. And like I said, one of the things the enemy wants you to do is renounce Jesus. That's why this higher level of persecution, the threat of physical and body harm, is done. Because they look at it and say, well, our words alone ain't shaking them. So we got to do something to them. That'll, you know. And so this man and woman was taken to the middle of the village. They was tied to the pole. And they was getting ready to be burned alive. And the lady, she started to, quote, become scared. She started, in a sense, to break down. But the man that was being to be burned with her, the brother Christian, he talked to her and helped strengthen her faith. Yes, they were burned alive. Okay? Hallelujah. But they didn't renounce Jesus. But see, what you don't understand that some of those that was burned on the stake alive in the middle of the village, get this, some of the people, when they saw that those Christians got burned alive for their faith in Christ, did you know some of those people got saved when they saw that? Now, I just said something to somebody that listened and can't fathom. Now, I can't fathom that. How watching somebody get burned up going to lead me to be saved? Well, it did happen. It did happen. See, many times we don't know what particular things are to be done. See, you're going to have some people, let me talk to you, Christian. You're going to have some people that's going to watch you be persecuted. And when they look at how you handle the persecution standing for the faith, some of them is going to get saved. Now, do that mean that you always have to die? No. But when you're being persecuted, even if it's not to death per se, you're going to have some people on the outside looking in at you. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking to see if you're going to crack, if you're going to fold, if you're going to say, okay, I got enough, no more. Then those same people going to say, oh, ain't nothing to his God. But when they see you going through being persecuted and you still stand in the faith, still stand, some of them people going to look and say, man, it must be something to this thing, because, man, this fella been catching the whoa for a long time, okay? And he's still speaking about the Lord Jesus. Oh, it must be something to this thing, okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to our Bible. Let's go back to our Bible. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Oh, yeah, the scary book. Yeah, I used to hear that for years. There was some that used to call Revelation the scary book. And, you know, actually, some people were scared to read it. Some still are. Some people are scared to read it. And some ministers are scared to even preach from that. Did you know that? I just said, why y'all scared? Being scared ain't going to protect you. Anything going to hurt you and make you worse. Because if you ignorant of certain things, then that means, listen, just because you ignorant don't stop certain things from happening. So the fear actually is hurting you worse. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read verse 9 to 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. The word of God said, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They were slain. They were killed. What? They were, that's in their persecution. They were killed what? For the word of God. Amen. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, those thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth. How long, Lord, would it be till you avenge our blood on them that have slain us for your name's sake? Look at verse 11. And white robes were given to every one of them. Every one of them, not some of them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as their word should be fulfilled. Wow. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? See, the Lord ain't no respect of person. That's why he said, all must drink of the bitter cup. He didn't say some. Amen. See, that's what we're missing here in America as Christians. I hope many of you American Christians are hearing this. Especially some of you that's saying, well, that kind of stuff that's going on in them other countries, I don't think it can come over here to America. Why can't? You tell me why. You give me a reason why. Huh? Give me a reason why. If that persecution can happen to many Christians in the other country, and you know what? Some of them Christians show, you ready for this? Don't get mad, click me off. Some of them Christians in other countries show more better faith than we do. Well, you say, what do you mean, what? I can tell you in church service. There's some Christians, even some of those in Africa, they will walk for miles. When they know some preaching going for to go on, they'll walk for miles to come to service. Some of their church builders around a block, walk a few steps from your house, and you won't even go. Now, if there are believers in these other countries that show greater faith than us, and they're going through this persecution, why is we supposed to be any better? Now, somebody tell me. The number is 323-870-3403. 323-870-3403. Tell me, how is it that we're supposed to be any better? Huh? Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy on us, Jesus. Now, there's another part to this persecution that, hallelujah. That I want to speak about here. And it's been in what we've been reading. Amen. And this is of great importance. Hallelujah. You know, in verse 10, after the when those that the word of God said that was slain and killed for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and You remember they asked the question in verse 10, how long, Lord, will you avenge our blood? Amen. Holy and true. How long dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So on them. So the question is, who are the them that these slain believers, hallelujah, talking about the Lord avenging their blood on? And who are the they? Remember, as we've been reading in this series, Jesus said, you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, he said, when they deliver you up, and the question is, who is the they? Hallelujah. That Jesus said that would deliver you up to what? To the synagogues, to the councils, brought before rulers and kings for his name's sake. The day that will what? Matthew 5, that will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of falseness, all manner of evil against you falsely. Who are they? What are they? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to, Lord, say the same. Going to go more into that tomorrow with part 5. Because that part is important, too. That you may know who the they are. So you won't be so devastated who you find out who are the they. Amen. And when God in his word talks to us about the day, he is warning us who the they are. Who are the them? Amen. As I said to you guys at the beginning of this series, this message especially has me concerned for the Christians here in America, for the majority of them, because there are some believers who are preparing themselves and getting ready. But for the most part, the big part of us, we're doing shows on TV showing people that the God life is about getting cars and houses, showing off some bling, some shiny, being dressed in the fancy, expensive suits, living a life of richness. And we have portrayed that not only to other believers, but even to the sinners. And the sinners be like, well, sure, if that was about how my life should be different than yours, I want the bling bling. And some, and many sinners are, got a lot of money too. Going riot, going berserk, buying whatever and whenever, okay? So when they see some Christians displaying that the God life is the same way, they go, oh, shoot, how is my life supposed to be different? I mean, I want that too. In fact, I'm showing that too. I guess I'm all right with God. Wow. I say wow. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, have mercy upon our soul. And as I get ready to close this off, just doing this series have given me some deep thoughts concerning myself personally. I'm not here on the broadcast to tell you all that's listening that Brother Nate got it all together. He's 100% ready. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. No, the Lord is still doing the work in me. Now, I have went through some, quote, persecution of things, but even I know I have not faced the high-level persecution that many of my brothers and sisters in the other country is going through right now. I have the greatest respect for any of the missionaries that's going into these other countries to spread the gospel. I got great respect for them. And I'm afraid for many of us as Christians here in America, because we hearing to a degree this persecution being fought, maybe in some video somewhere, seen it to a degree, now we're thinking to a greater degree, and there's no way it can come to America. That, amen. Some of us, I'm telling you, and this is no lie, some of us actually are carrying that thought. I just don't think it'll come to America. Well, and my question is why couldn't? Why couldn't it? America is in shambles. She is messed up. She have taken what God called an abomination and legalized it to say ain't nothing wrong with it. America has literally looked the Lord in the face and said, we ain't following nothing what you say. We our own people. We're going to do our own thing. And you might well live with it. Now, that's what America virtually has said to the Lord. America has gotten to the point like Jerusalem in the days of old. Even the true prophets of the Lord, they have gone out in this nation. Many of them have been slain by the words of the mouth of the people in this nation. And perhaps even some of them even being killed. So how is it that this kind of stuff couldn't come over here? Like I said, to those of you Christians that's saying that, you explain to me how is that so? See, what we do, we look at America in such a way like many sinners are looking at America. She's too great to be touched. She's too great for the stuff that's happening in those other countries. America's too great for something like that to happen here. That's we. Some of us as Christians are carrying that same mentality. You hear me? That same mentality, like some of us, like some sinners are. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for you have blessed me to come through another broadcast. And I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask, Lord God, that you will water the seed I've sown and bring forth the increase. But, Lord, you are worthy to be praised and to be glorified. You're worthy to be lifted up. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I magnify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I will be back with part five tomorrow. Persecution in the end time. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word of Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.